Another thing it has zapped me of is the ability to memorize. My memory is kind of like here, there, and everywhere. Some people say that's normal, but as a result of that, I'm doing something I have not done in 46 years of being a pastor, and that is having a manuscript of my sermon in front of me. That doesn't mean I didn't try to study. It just means I can't remember things, I can't memorize. And so rather than miss out on what I think are some important things to say, I hope that you will bear with me as I have my manuscript up here and you see me doing this. Actually, I don't feel so bad. I was watching a TV show the other night, and the preacher, my mind's blank, Greg Laurie, was doing a Christmas service the other night, and he had his in a binder with in sleeves, and he. So I don't feel so bad if, you know, someone like him uses a binder with his sermon in a sleeve. But anyway, just so you know, that's why I have the sermon up here. I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 10. You can see that on the screen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 17. I'm not going to read that this morning at this point, largely because, as you can tell, my voice is not real strong at this point. So I will come back to that. But I would like to open with prayer and ask God to bless the reading of His Word in a moment, and then also His presence in our lives during the sermon. And so, Father, I pray that You will help us to understand Your Word. Speak to us through Your Word as we try to wrap up this year with some thoughts and challenge for the new year. I pray that You will help us to just listen, to just be ready to hear, ready to listen to what You have to say to us this morning. And no matter what we're doing, I pray that You'll help us just maybe just to pause for a few moments, to set aside the things that we're doing, just to listen to You, and then listen to Your Word as it speaks to us. And so I pray for wisdom, I pray for grace for those who hear, and I pray for strength as I bring the message, and that we will be able to see Jesus and Jesus only. For in His name I pray, amen. In the movie Gladiator, the character Gladiator was played by Russell Crowe, and he is really Maximus Decimus Meridius. And one of the most stirring scenes in the movie to me is when he is challenged by the imposter Emperor Commodus to tell who he was. And so after a battle, he takes his helmet off or his face mask off, and his answer is, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, and loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." He later says, and this is the quote that really sticks with me, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." I want to modify that just a moment for the purpose of this message and simply say, what we do in life echoes in the future. Echoes in the future. We come to the last Sunday of 2020, and in 5 short days, we will usher in 2021. Is there anyone here who does not hope that 2021 is better than 2020? I hardly think that there was a hand that went up. 2020 brought its challenges for sure, but I think the greatest challenges for many of us have been to our faith. Rona fatigue put a hit on many, and they got tired of fighting. Being withdrawn from their community of faith, many people struggled to stay afloat. We saw suicides, especially among teenagers and young people, jump dramatically, as well as depression and hopelessness and insecurity. It was and still is a challenge to the follower of Christ to not waste time, to not waste the opportunities that are presented to us, to not waste the alone time to draw closer to Jesus. So what I want to propose to you this morning in this message is to present the challenge of choosing not to waste your life, but to take every avenue possible to grow and to reach out. So let's first of all take a look at the challenge from the past. I'd like to begin this morning by reading you a short excerpt from a book. It was called What Are You Doing With Your Life? By J.D. Greer. He is a pastor of Summit Church in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. And so bear with me as I read the opening segue of his book. In the early afternoon of May 20th, 2000, in a large field on a farm outside Memphis, Tennessee, a preacher in his mid-50s, dressed in a signature herringbone sport coat and black tie, took his place behind a lectern to address a crowd of more than 40,000 college students. The air was chilly, the wind brisk, and a light rain had begun to fall. The crowd of students was restless. They had already sat through a packed slate of morning sessions. To escape the damp, students held their rain jackets over their head. Several used a moment to get up and go for a walk or go back to their tents. Not an auspicious beginning for a generation-defining moment. The speaker understandably looked a little flustered. He was trying to shield the temperamental mic from the whipping wind with one hand and hold down his notes with the other. And just a few minutes into his sermon, a gust of wind blew half of his notes off the lectern and into the crowd. The message was not going well. The man quietly prayed, "Father in heaven, you know how inadequate I feel at this moment, and so I ask for a very special anointing and help from you." He took a deep breath and then, leaning down on the lectern, pinning his remaining notes down with his arm, said, "3 weeks ago, we got word at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards had both been killed in Cameroon," he began. Ruby was over 80. Single all her life, she poured it out for one great thing, and that was to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old, and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. The brakes failed, the car went over the cliff, and they were both killed instantly. And I asked my people, "Was that a tragedy?" And the students responded, "No." "No," the preacher echoed, "that is a glory. I'll tell you what a tragedy is." And then he pulled out a page from Reader's Digest and read this: "Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells." And he continued, "The American dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only life, and let the last great work before you give an account to your Creator be, 'I collected shells.' See my shells? That is a tragedy. People today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life." I want to be totally honest with you. When I read that story, it wrecked me. I sat and cried. I'm at the age of retirement, and Joe reminds me of that just about every day. I'm not the young buck I used to be. Some of the things that used to be easy aren't easy anymore. But one thing I've said over and over to her, and she knows this, is that I have no plans to retire. There are several reasons for that, but probably the number one reason is that I love what I do. And until God says, "Bill, hang up your spurs," I have no plans to do so. Gathering seashells and living on a yacht is not my idea of fun. I was reminded of this even more when I read of an interview with Tom Brady. Steve Croft was interviewing him, and he asked him, "Tom, what have you learned about yourself?" And here's what he said, and I quote, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think, God, it's got to be more than this. And what else is there for me?" And Croft said, "What's the answer?" Brady smiled for a moment, then the smile faded. "I wish I knew," he said. "I wish I knew." When I read that, I thought, man, I wish I had been Steve Croft, or I wish I had been one of the side people who could have taken him after the interview and said, "Mr. Brady, you have everything the world ever wants, but there is one thing you don't have, one person you don't have, and that is Jesus." And let me finish out with one last quote. The great philosopher and comedian Jim Carrey once said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Wow. Perhaps you know people who could say the same thing. Maybe you're one of those people, if you're listening today, who think you have it all, and then you're still saying, there's got to be more. Folks, 2020 has been a challenging year for us, to say the least. Let me review that real quickly with you. The China virus, or novel coronavirus, or COVID, or whatever you want to call it, came and caused havoc, not just in the United States, but around the world. Then we saw lawlessness hit the streets in waves. Riots and unrest shocked the normal sensibilities many people have. Cities and city blocks went up in flames. We heard more and more about defunding the police, which has proven, as expected, to be an unmitigated disaster. Crooked politicians telling us by their actions, "Do as I say, but not as I do." Socialism and Marxism made headway like no one thought it would have on the heels of Antifa and BLM. The Squad, as they have dubbed themselves, are seeking to dismantle our democratic way of life. A tumultuous election season rained down on us, and then the virus spiked again, as we have now seen. Well, when I thought about all of that, there is a Christmas song that came to mind. It's not one we sing a lot of because it's a downer. Most people don't really care for it, but the words were written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's called "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," and it has this refrain: "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And I sincerely doubt there is anyone who is listening to me now or in the future who will ever disagree with the sentiments of that song. 2020 has been, if I may be excused, been called the year from hell. And I seriously doubt that many of us would disagree with that. But with all the bad, there was good. We here at the church saw God just move in fantastic ways through your generosity, through your kindness, the way you continually stepped up when we needed stepped up, when things needed to be stepped up. And so I believe that 2021 can usher in more good news in spite of what the headlines say to us. So let's talk about the challenge for the future. Jesus once said this: "What does it benefit or profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's an important question to answer. I read of it, put it this way, and I thought this was so unique. I thought, I got to do this. Let's suppose that I offered you $100 million if you would cut off your pinky. How many of you would say, okay, I'll do that? I think most people would say, yeah, just a little pinky. Yeah, $100 million sounds really good. Okay, let's take it. How about if I offered you $100 million to not just your pinky, but up to your elbow? Most of you would say, I'll think about that one, but there would be still be some of you would say, yeah, $100 million is worth that much. Okay, how about up to your shoulder? And you're saying, that gets a little tougher, but okay, there may be still some of you who say, okay, but let's take it this way. Let's suppose I tell you, not just all of that, but I'm going to take both your arms, both your legs, poke your eyes out, cut up your tongue, and stop up your ears. How many of you will accept that one? Nobody. You know why? Because what good would it be to have all that money and have no way to enjoy it? Because that is no way to exist. That is exactly what Jesus is saying. We trade following Jesus almost on a daily basis for temporary stuff that this world offers, when in reality, it isn't much of an exchange at all. We lose. When I was in junior high and high school, I attended Camp Christian in Mill Run, Pennsylvania. One of the first times I was ever at camp, I heard a speaker use a phrase that I actually wrote in a flyleaf of my Bible, and I've never been able to forget it. I didn't know where it came from until just recently I checked it out. The phrase was this: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That phrase actually comes from a man named C.T. Studd. He was a cricketer in England, very successful, very popular, when he heard the need for missionaries to China. Hudson Taylor had started the China Inland Mission, and C.T. Studd went to China with seven others to start work in China. He came back to England, and then he eventually went to the States to visit, and while he was there, he heard about a work in Africa. His wife was all on board. By the way, he had four daughters. Two of them died at childbirth, or two of them died as infants. But anyway, he and his wife decided to take the plunge to go to the Congo. She stayed back. She came to visit him one time and then came back and actually died as a result of that visit while he was in the Congo. He stayed there, continued to minister, and eventually died from untreated gallstones. Here was a man who had everything as a cricketer he could have wanted. He had fame. He had adulation. He gave it all up to go to China and then to go to the Congo, and to die there. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And here's the important thing to remember. Every follower of Jesus is called to leverage his or her life for the cause of Christ. As I was working on this sermon, it was the very beginning of December, Ryan and I were talking about this. We were talking about the importance of discipleship and training others to help with the work of ministry, which I admittedly had not done a very good job of. And I hope to change that in 2021. That is one of my goals. I made the comment to him that one of the ideas Martin Luther was arguing for, what is called the priesthood of all believers. In other words, all of us are involved in the ministry, not just a select few. We can call them the pastor or the youth pastor or the worship pastor or the elders, or whatever you want to call them, but ministry was never designed to be done by a select few. For example, it's illogical to ask me to come to your work in order to talk to your people about Jesus. It's best done by you. And that is what it means to leverage our lives for Jesus. We are called to the mission of fulfilling the Great Commission of go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now let's take a look at our scripture this morning from Romans chapter 10. It actually starts in verse 9, and I'm going to read some of this and make a comment. The first thing you will notice is it is a call to listen to the gospel and then to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now notice the word that is key in verse 11. It says, everyone who believes. And you find that word again in verse 13. Everyone who believes. There is no color in that. There is no nationality in that. There is no race in that. There is no gender in that. And that basically says every life matters. It's very common to hear all lives don't matter until a certain life matters. You know what? God doesn't look at the color of a person's skin. You want proof for that? Go to the story of Samuel when he was anointing David, when he was choosing David. We all have read that story. Jesse brings his oldest son in and Samuel says, wow, look at the specimen of this guy. He's got to be the next king. And God says, no, Samuel, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. God does not care about our race, our nationality, our color, or anything else. All he wants to see is a heart that is willing to be surrendered to him, that will listen to the call of the gospel and surrender their life to Jesus. And that is reinforced in verse 12 when he says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But I also, the second part of this, these verses, is I want to recall or draw your attention to verses 14 through 17. And I want you to notice the progression with me. He says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Do you see the progression of that? Someone needs to go. Someone needs to teach. Someone needs to talk so the people can call on the name of Jesus. How are you going to call on someone they have not believed in? And how are they going to believe in someone of whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? And how are they going to go unless they're sent? Do you see it? Each one of us brings something to the table. You are where God puts you because God puts you there. I am where I am because God has put me here. You have been given certain gifts to present God to present to God in all that you do. That's why Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus in Colossians 3:17. We have the best and the most important message in the world. And no one can ever reach out with the message of Christ unless we do it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 winds this thought out beautifully. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, or hearing by the word of God. Now, do you see why it's so important for us to take the message to other people, why we need to listen to the gospel, we need to surrender, and why we need to be willing to say, I will do what you want me to do. Years ago, I read a quote by D.L. Moody. He once said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and with and through a man who is wholly committed to him. I want to be that man. I think it's high time that you and I take on that same challenge, that we be that man or woman whom God uses in phenomenal ways. And by that, I'm not speaking about worldwide influence. I'm talking about simply changing your work environment or your home environment because of your example, your conscientiousness, your honesty, your willingness to help other people stands as a light to other people. As a husband and a father, step up to the plate. As a coach or a mentor, step up to the plate. Expect pushback, but stand strong. And then that leads me into a perfect segue into our theme for 2021, Life on the Edge, using Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 as a base verse, where Joshua is facing this promised land that he, you know, and this new people that Moses had left him, and there had to be fear there, and God says, take courage, don't be afraid, I will be there with you. That's my paraphrase. I encourage you to look up Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to start out in January by looking at the book of Ecclesiastes on life matters. And then we're going to take a look a little bit at the cross as we lead into the crucifixion. And then we're going to take a look at the shortest gospel, Mark. We're going to call it the gospel for working people. But I want to make sure that you and I are grounded in the truth and that we see that our life does matter. And life will be on the edge this year. We have no clue, as we always do. We have no clue what 2021 is going to bring. We'll jokingly say, it's got to be better than 2020. And that was surely what we hope. But 2021 is a challenge for all of us. And I pray that our life will be on the edge for him. And you can look at the graphic and you can see him stepping off the cliff onto the word edge. Because if you've ever seen the third installment of Indiana Jones, there's a point where Indiana Jones steps off the cliff and steps onto a walkway. That's what God has for us. We do not know, we do not see, and yet he says, trust me, step off the edge and live on that edge. And so I'm going to pray that you and I will live on the edge and will make a difference in our world this coming year. As I bring this to a close, though, I want to borrow some thoughts from that same Pastor John Piper, who was featured at the very beginning by the story. He wrote a book based on his experience at the Passion Conference, and it's called Don't Waste Your Life. Surprise. But here's what he said, and I quote, the breakthrough for all of us is answering the questions, what is life about? What is it for? Why do I exist? And why am I here? And his end quote. And then he goes on to answer the question with this, and I quote, God created me, and he created you to live a life, to live a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify God by enjoying and displaying his supreme excellence. And then he goes on and he makes a list of how do we know if we've wasted our life or what is a wasted life. There are more than these four, but I've narrowed it down to these four that I want to bring to you this morning. So first of all, a wasted life is a life without passion for the supremacy of God in all things. He needs to be our passion. He needs to be our focus. The second part of that is a wasted life is a life lived not for the glory of God. Remember the scripture I gave you at the very beginning, well, and during the sermon, where we are told to live our life for the glory of God. Whatever you live, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all for the glory of God. That's a life that is not wasted. A life that is lived for God's glory is not wasted. It may look like it. Remember the story of the two 80-year-old ladies who died, and people would think that's a wasted life. They never wasted their life. They lived their life to the glory of God till the day that car lost its brakes. The third of that is a wasted life is a life lived without weaving God into our eating and drinking. That is not simply talking about what we eat and what we drink. It's talking about our entire life scheme of weaving God into everything. Not just what we eat, not just what we drink, but what we wear, where we go, who we are with, what we say, how we act, what we write, how we respond. And then fourth, a wasted life is a life lived when we don't pray and think and dream and plan and work toward magnifying God in all spheres of life. Wow. I'm going to challenge you to print out this bulletin. Not because I think the sermon is that great, but because these four points should be the four driving forces for us this year. That I refuse to waste my life by chasing other things. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't want to waste my life in 2021. No matter what it brings, globally, locally, or personally, I want it to be spent for Him. If I come to the end of 2021 and I find myself wasted in a good way, then I will know that I have lived my life on the edge for Him. Because I go into 2021 with this saying from John Wesley, "The one who fears God need fear nothing else." I want to ask you to join me two ways. If you've never come to know Jesus Christ, the message has been presented to you. There is somebody who wants to tell you about the love of Jesus. And if you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to say, now's the time. If 2020 has taught us anything, it has taught us the brevity of life. None of us are guaranteed even 2021 at this point. But you need to come to know Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you to pray a prayer of acceptance of Jesus. To pray for Him to come into your life, to change your life, to forgive your sin, that you repent of that sin. Talk to somebody who loves Jesus to ask them, how do I do this? And if they can't show you, talk to me. Talk to Ryan. We will be glad to sit down with you. We'll do it over the phone and ask you to pray a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't keep putting it off. And then finally, if you are a follower of Jesus, for some of you that sounds strange, maybe you prefer to say a Christian, whatever works for you is fine, but if you are a follower of Jesus, as I am a follower of Jesus, and I know the two others in this room are followers of Christ, as are hundreds across this community, part of our church, if you are a follower of Jesus, why not take the challenge that I presented to you today to just surrender to Him completely, to let Him do His work in you, and you will be amazed what He can do. And let's be like Dale Moody. The world is yet to see what God can do with and through and in a person who's totally committed to Him, and I want to be that man. I hope you'll pray that. Let's pray, and then we'll be finished. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Thank you for those who tuned in. Lord, I'm so humbled that this all has been made possible. The people in the church were so generous in making all this possible, and they're so generous in taking some time out of their morning to sit and watch. But all of it is for naught if people are not hearing the message of Christ and not responding. I pray for those this morning who may not have known, who may not know Jesus, and who have continued to put it off. Please, don't let them alone. Bug them to death. Convict them until they finally respond. And then, Father, I pray for each one of us who are Christ followers. Help us to take on the challenge of surrendering our life to you and giving it over and not wasting it. Thank you for who you are. Go with us the rest of today, this week. Again, I pray for healing for those who are suffering. I pray for those who are lonely. I pray for those who are depressed. I pray for those who are reaching the end of their rope and just want to end their life. I pray that you will come alongside, bring someone at the right time to point them to Jesus. And thank you, Father, for loving us. For in His name I pray. Amen. Thank you for checking in this morning. We so appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day. And God bless you, and have a great week. Thanks.